preach a little sermon at there, but we'll invite Brother Colin up. Let's just sing Welcome Home, or Holy Spirit, now welcome. What key is that? F name?
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy
I'm afraid I'm rejected.
That's right.
That's because I'm identified in Him.
Hallelujah.
I'm not identified in nothing else.
That's right, Lord.
Amen. Of course, it's a pleasure to be back with you tonight. I'm really happy to see all of your faces again. And I love your little fellowship here. And I just feel the presence of God.
Hallelujah.
And that's what we're looking for. Amen.
Amen.
So if you're standing, I want you to turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 14. Of course, we know it's Ash Wednesday, but to us it doesn't mean too much.
That's right.
You know, for Lent, I want to give up vain traditions.
That's right.
Oh my, that's good.
Praise the Lord.
I remember one time I went into a hospital, just to share a little story with you real quick, but I went into a hospital, and everywhere I went, I saw these people with these gray smudges on their forehead.
Come on, yeah.
And I had forgotten, apparently it was Ash Wednesday or something, but I'm walking around and everybody's got this gray smudge on their forehead. And I for a minute, I really thought that God opened the veil and I was looking at people marked by the beast.
Oh,
and and then I realized I might be.
Yeah.
I might be. But we're just thankful to have ears to hear the word of God.
Yes.
Amen. In the book of Numbers, chapter 14. Go with me to verse 20. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word.
Yes.
But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now go with me to Luke 12 before we approach the Lord in prayer. Luke chapter 12. And let's read verse 16. Let's pay close attention to this as we read it tonight. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. Now listen close. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take your thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, that you've granted us another opportunity, Lord, to approach your Spirit. Lord, we're looking forward to you meeting us here tonight. Lord, we ask you, Father, to take full control of our little service. Lord, you see the needs that are on the hearts of your children. You see the things they've been praying about. Lord, you see the things that they need from thy Spirit. And I'm asking you, Father, to come down tonight, Lord, and meet us in this little assembly. Father, we thank you for holding back the weather. We thank you for every blessing that comes down from the Father of lights. And Lord, we ask you to control every word that comes out of this mouth, Lord, and take away my problems and my faults and my issues tonight, Lord, that I might not get in the way of your Holy Spirit. Father, we commit everything into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'd like to speak to you tonight on what really matters. How does that sound? What really matters? I'm pretty sure tonight that if I went across this room and looked at every one of you and asked you to raise your hand and tell me what you thought really mattered, you know, I'd probably get a whole bunch of different answers. I'd probably get a whole bunch of different ideas. We, of course, are going to somehow point to Christ and point to his word. But if I asked you what really mattered tonight, I mean, what really matters, that's what I want to look at tonight. Amen. What really is important? Because really, this life is full of what? A whole bunch of illusion, yep, and distraction,
right,
and things to pull our attention away from where our attention is ordained to go.
Yes,
this world is organized to distract you. This world, yes, is organized to pull you away from your focus. We realize,
right,
that in order to follow the Lord properly, we got to be focused.
Yes, Lord.
We got to be focused. And I'm one that's crying out to the Lord,
yes,
even
Lord,
tonight.
Yes,
help me,
Father,
to focus on what I'm supposed to focus on. Help me to,
yes,
be heartfelt in my service for you.
Oh, Jesus. Yes,
because I know one thing that scripture my brother mentioned to you tonight before I came up. When Jesus was talking about what he wanted to find on this,
yep,
earth,
that's right,
he wasn't talking about how you dress.
Yeah, come on,
he wasn't talking about how you speak. He wasn't talking, though all these things are important, but we're talking tonight about what really matters. What,
amen,
Jesus was looking for when he would come back to the earth is to find faith.
Yes,
now,
sir,
God is always wanting to find faith. The only,
yes,
thing he ever asked us to do was to believe.
Yes,
the,
sir,
only thing he ever asked,
yes,
us to do was have faith in,
amen,
what he said. And
that's
really,
right,
it's not a hard thing for us to do, but the problem is we become distracted.
Yes.
Here we read in Luke chapter 12, Jesus was saying, oh,
good,
ye of little faith.
Amen, that's right.
Now, that wasn't the Lord God being harsh,
yeah,
as we would call it today.
Sure.
When you go to a church, yeah, and a minister says, where's your faith? And you're like, well, I'm under an unconditional covenant of grace. I don't need to hear that. right? But Jesus himself walks up to them and says, where's your faith?
Amen.
Oh, ye of little faith. And let's put it in modern terms. You don't have much faith.
Yeah. Amen.
Right?
What he said.
That's what Jesus said. Now, for us to understand Jesus today, we need to understand what he did yesterday, Brother Branham said. If the same conditions are met, he's going to do the same thing. So what we need to see today, I believe there's a massive misconception about how Jesus would act.
Amen.
There's a massive misconception about what Jesus would do.
Sure.
Amen.
They depict Jesus now as walking all around the town. Every time he meets somebody, he's got this gaping smile on his face. You know, which he had the joy of the Lord. Sure. But the Bible says for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross.
That's
See, there's
right.
something about this message that we can't resist. We can't leave, and it's carrying a cross. This thing's not a golden emblem on a wall, but it's a rugged, heavy, burden-filled life. And God wants you to be the same way. Now, we can't forget that. We want faith, and that's how it comes. You're not going to get any shortcuts with this cross.
That's right.
You're not going to get any shortcuts with this message. You know, we see so much of the secular idea coming into this thing now. Don't we? We see so much of this secular idea coming into this now. You know, we've stepped into a position of revelation where we're above having to carry this cross anymore. Tell me you don't see it.
Sure.
We've stepped into this level of revelation where we're above following him how he asked us to follow him. And see, I'm one that I want to go back to the ABCs and make sure I have that before I'm dealing with the algebra and the geometry and the calculus, which is what we have today. The full knowledge of the word, yet the people have forgotten how to seek God. Yet the people have forgotten to leave home and believe what God has said. So that's all he's ever asked you to do. And my friends, you're not going to leave here doubting the word of God. You're going to leave here believing the word of God.
Amen.
What really matters, Brother Branham told us that there's nothing that you can take with you out of this world. I've never seen a U-Haul pulled behind a hearse, the song says, right? There's nothing you can take with you except your character. There's nothing you can take with you except your spirit. Now, Brother Branham, and I quoted this last time I was here, he said that the way you are now is the way you're going to be there. The way you are here right now is the way you're going to be in heaven. Now, if you're sitting there in the pew doubting the Lord, that's the way you're going to be if you leave here. Now, that's the one thing that God wants to get rid of is unbelief.
Amen.
That's the one thing that God wants to take away. The Word of God calls for a separation completely from unbelief. That's what he's trying to do. That's the purpose of preaching. That's the purpose of praying.
Right.
That's the purpose of reading the Word. God's trying to show you, to bring you into this place where he's so real to you that when he speaks, there's not a second thought about what he speaks.
Amen.
That when you read his words out of his Bible or out of his message, there's not a second thought in your mind as to whether or not he means what he says.
Right.
There's so many of God's people walking around with a smile on their face, doubting every word that they read in this book because the spirit of unbelief has taken hold of their heart. God doesn't want you to be that way.
No, sir.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
What really matters?
Yes, sir.
What really matters? The only thing you can take with you is your character, is your spirit. Jesus said, here's how everybody's going to know you're my disciple.
That's right.
Because you have the proper revelation of what the Word says. Amen. The Bible says, here's how people are going to know that you're my disciple. It's because you have love one for another.
That's right. What he said.
Now, people can look on you and see you have the right revelation, but that won't do them any good.
That's right.
People can look upon you and see that you have this tremendous miracle-working faith like people in other religions have. But if people see on you a love genuine for your brother and for your sister that's unfeigned, that's unconditional, that doesn't waver, then the Bible says they will know that you're his disciples. See, we're talking about your spirit, your character. Now, that's what we want to see. Brother Branham said nothing but perfect love can be there.
That's right.
Nothing but perfect love can be there.
Amen, brother.
I heard a minister one time, he took a piece of paper and he drew a black dot on the paper and he held it up. And he said, "What do you see?" And everybody said, "A black dot." He said, "But you ignore all of this white. The only thing you see is that black dot on this paper. You ignore all the good. The only thing you ever see is the black dot." Ask yourself this question tonight. Is that how you view people? Is that how you view your saints, your brothers and your sisters?
Come on, brother.
The only thing you see is what's wrong with them. And you never see the white part of it. Because I got news for you. Some of you are covered in black dots. Some of us walking around covered in black. I'm a Dalmatian sometimes. But there's good in there if you want to find it. There's bad in here too if you want to see that. Now, I'm just being real with you tonight. But see, God wants to see a character, a spirit that's proper in his eyes. Do you believe
that?
The one thing the Lord is working on in this day is your character and its flaws. You want to seek the face of God and get close to the Lord, expect every little tiny flaw that you have to come flying up before your face. You want to fast and seek the face of God, all of a sudden every little mistake that you have is going to come right before you. Because God's business is to perfect your character for this escape. Do you believe that? God's business is to perfect your character. Now, if you asking God for more love, he's going to give you somebody to take care of.
Yeah, sure.
If you're asking God for more faith, he's going to give you a whole handful of trials to make your faith come to a place where it can be built. Now, we think God acts like this. "Lord, I need more faith. Now drop it into my heart and build my faith supernaturally so that I can walk out in supernatural faith and perform the will of God." But the way God builds faith is to throw adversaries in your path so that your faith can get worked out. The Bible says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." If you want to love somebody and you ask God to give you love, he's going to give you somebody that pushes your buttons.
Right.
And they know exactly how to push them, when to push them, and how to push them to bring your spirit to a place where you actually love them. Now, first, it starts out as a routine. You can't just manufacture it overnight. You see, when a children's following his dad, my dad's words are in this book.
That's it.
When a children is following their parents, they look, they see what should be done, they do it. It's not necessarily in their heart yet, but they do it. They try to do it because they know it's right. Eventually, that becomes real. Eventually, your son is just like you.
Yes, amen.
Because that's the way it's in their heart. Eventually, your daughter's just like you. But first, it starts out with they see the way it should be, and they just copy it.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Amen.
Right?
Come on.
So don't throw somebody out in the garbage bin right away if they're just copying you. God will bring us to where we need to be. You believe that? But if you're wanting the right spirit in the eyes of God, you're asking for a massive unveiling of all of your problems. And I've been there. I don't know if you've been there, but I've been there. And I just thank the Lord for that, brother, sister. But in the end, listen to this now. Caleb and Joshua were the only ones that had made it through all that God had done. Now, God had performed all of these works. All of these time-taking works over years and years. Look, think of this. Years and years, God's beating Moses to a place where Moses can be used by God. And all of a sudden, all of this time is taken, and God sends his deliverer under the anointing. All of these supernatural things are taking place, taking over the Pharaoh's authority, unveiling. Now notice, Jannes and Jambres could only copy them up to a point.
That's right. Sure.
Only up to a point. When he turned the stick into a snake, they could do it. When he turned the water into blood, they could do it. But when he spoke, there's nothing there.
That's right.
They can't fake that. Remember, Brother Branham said, there ain't going to be no impersonating of this. There ain't going to be no impersonating of this. I believe I'm part of that now. I don't know if you do tonight, but I believe I'm part of that. But see, he painstakingly brought them through this process, raised up a deliverer, delivered them out of Egypt, proved night and day I'm meeting all of your needs.
That's right.
Night and day, their clothes didn't get old. Their food was there. What they had need of was supplied every single day. Yet the only thing that they could testify of was all of the problems that they saw. This is what separates Caleb and Joshua from the entire camp of Israel. Their only testimony was what was wrong.
Hit it, brother.
Think about it.
Come on, man.
Their only testimony was what was wrong. Caleb and Joshua's testimony was not involved with the giants, was not involved with the Amalekites, was not involved with the Philistines. Their testimony was, we are more than able to conquer this because God said we were. I don't have to feel it. I don't have to see God wipe them out. I just know that he said it and I believe it.
Amen.
All glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. God, will I find faith when I come back? I can't answer it. I can only strive for it myself.
Amen, brother.
Amen. You believe that, brother, sister. So I want to look just a little bit. Now, as you serve the message, and you're with one thing Brother Branham talked about so much is a person's attitude.
Yes.
Is a person's spirit. I believe you can kind of interchange that word by the grace of God. But a person's attitude, a way a person carries themselves, he spoke so much about it. And here in the book of Numbers, chapter 14, it says Caleb had a different spirit with him than the rest of Israel.
That's right.
The New Living Translation says Caleb had a different attitude than the rest of Israel. His attitude was different. Now, I want you to notice the ratio. History repeats itself.
Exactly.
I want you to notice the ratio. See, Caleb, I don't have a record of him ever doubting what God said.
That's right.
Israel, I don't have a record of them believing what God said with their heart now. With their mouth, they did. But with their heart, see, God is not interested in what your mouth says. God's interested in what your heart believes.
Amen.
You can smile at me and say, God bless you all day. But if you're thinking evil about me in your heart, heaven hears that. Heaven hears that. See, that's why God's interested in a heart service. See, that's actually why he cast Israel away. Israel served him naturally with their mouth, with their hands, but their heart was far away. We as the bride, we serve him with our heart, yet our hands fail us every day of every hour of the day, but in our heart. Remember that little lady?
Yes.
Who came up to Brother Branham? She said, I'm so full of problems. I make so many mistakes. I just can't do it, Brother Branham. I don't know what's wrong with me. I just can't do it. And he said, you're looking at the wrong thing.
That's right.
God looks in your heart. He sees that you want to do it. And that's what God is looking at. He's not looking at what's on the outside. Now, eventually, God's going to help you that heart's going to come out and take over this flesh. That's why we still have to chasten our flesh, believe it or not. We still have to chasten our bodies.
Right.
We're running rampant, letting them run us around today. You believe that? Can I keep going? It said Caleb had a different spirit, a different attitude. Your attitude is your manner. It's your disposition. It's the way you carry yourself. It's the way you carry yourself toward others. It's the way that you can be characterized as acting most of the time. That's your attitude.
Right.
Now, when people look at you or me, they look at us and they say, that brother's like this. You ever hear that?
Sure.
That brother's like that. This brother acts like this because you have an attitude about you that is just usually common. It's usually steady. Everybody has a different attitude or a different spirit.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
But the Bible says that Caleb had a different spirit. I believe we have some Calebs.
Yeah.
If you're a Caleb tonight, come on, help me preach.
Amen.
I believe we have some Calebs tonight that won't doubt the word of the Lord.
That's right, brother. Amen. Hallelujah.
Israel said with their mouth, if you read the Bible, they said, we will do all that the Lord tells us to do.
Yes.
We will do it all.
Oh, no problem.
Did they do it? Not at all. We will do it all, but they couldn't fulfill their own mouth's words because they couldn't get themselves to believe.
Amen.
Right.
There's nothing that the Lord can do to show us today that he has fulfilled his word more than he's done if he walks in the church with his hands pierced and blood running out of his side. People will say he's an imposter. There's nothing else he can do. Only your attitude toward what he's already done will determine where you wind up.
Amen, brother.
Do you believe that?
Yes, sir.
It's the inward attitude God's looking at.
Amen.
You know, we want to get to a place where we don't grumble anymore.
Yes, amen.
Where we don't complain anymore.
All right.
We want to get to a place where if somebody asks us to do something that's not quite helpful to us, we're not doing it grumbling in our hearts, but we're doing it where we say, Lord, let the Spirit of Christ be shown through me. That's all I want. I want people to know the Lord Jesus is on the inside. I don't want people to know that I'm perfect. I just want people to know that I love the Lord and I love people and I want them to know it. And the only way you can show love is the same way Jesus showed love, was to lay your life down.
Amen.
Greater love has no man than this, than that a man might lay his life down for his friend.
Yes.
Right. I want you to ask yourself a question tonight. How much have you laid your life down for God's people? How much have you laid your life down for the Lord Jesus? Think about it. Think about it. May God help us to lay our lives down. Listen to what Brother Branham said here. Are you still with me tonight?
Yes, brother.
He said, you say, will God stand and judge me at the day of judgment? He said, no. Listen to this now. What do you mean, no? He said, no, your attitude towards him now, you're judging yourself. God has already pronounced the day you eat thereof, that day you die. That just settles it. He has to stay by that. He doesn't have to pronounce any more judgment. He said, your attitude towards it is the recompense. What you think of his way of escape, if you refuse to walk in his way, then you're already judging yourself as you judge him.
Amen.
If you do not take God for what he says, you're judging him.
Amen, brother.
Come on. I got one amen.
Come on, brother.
If you don't take what God has said, you are judging God. God help us. Oh, my. Thank God there's blood over me. Brother, sister, may God, you are judging God because you have taken into a position now where you're saying, I don't think that God has a right to mean what he says. I don't think he does mean what he says. I'm going to actually wait until I feel that he means what he says.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
He said, you're judging him as you judge yourself. It's not exactly how you live and all of these things. It's your attitude towards the word of God that determines what God can do. It's your attitude towards God's servants that can control where you end up. It's your attitude towards these things that determine where you'll go. God has already spoken everything. When he said it's finished, he meant it. When he said it's finished, it was done, brother. There's nothing left to be done except for us to believe what he said.
Amen.
There's nothing else left to be done.
No.
Now you can sit here and believe him or not. And that will determine whether you progress forward or whether you stagnate and rot.
Sure. Absolutely.
Right? Because for us to think that because we believe God sent a prophet means we're not going to stagnate and rot is dangerous.
Yes.
It's dangerous. Because all Israel believed God sent a prophet.
That's right.
Sure it is.
Because all of Israel believed, they believed enough to follow him out of Egypt. That's kind of nuts, right? They believed him enough to follow him out. But when it come time to a place where they didn't know what was going on anymore, where they didn't understand what God had said, and they begin to go tired and weary in the desert, then they begin to grumble, then they begin to get upset. Then because their attitude towards God and his message began to change, they died.
Right.
They died.
Amen.
They were dead. They were believers, but they didn't stay believers. Now, the difference we have today is that they didn't have the Holy Ghost.
Right.
The difference we have today is that we can do that, and God will step in inside of our spirit and pick us up from that pit of unbelief and say, I have already overcome the world. That's the difference. Oh, praise the name of the Lord, brother, sister. but we still have to watch our attitude towards God. Do you believe that?
Yes,
the promise was given to all of Israel, and only Caleb and Joshua saw it come to pass.
That's right, brother.
The promise was given. Brother Branham said this, and this is a negative thing to so many of us, but he said millions will die thinking they're serving the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
I don't think any one of you in here is like that, but it makes you want to go home and say, Lord, am I doubting you? You know, that's not a light thing. It's not. It's not a light thing. We do take it kind of today like it is, but it's not. Because Jesus told his disciples, oh, you of little faith.
That's right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Where is your faith?
That's right. Yes.
He didn't say, let's sit down and talk about this so I can make you feel a little more comfortable. And look, we need to discuss this. Because I know your faith is, I know you've been through a lot. I know it's hard. I know, man, it's really hard. There's a lot going on. And absolutely, he knows that. But he also knows that if he doesn't snap you awake, you're never going to wake up.
That's right.
He has to say, where's your faith? Amen. You know, we get the wrong idea of encouragement today. We think encouragement is, let me sit down until you feel comfortable. And I'm gonna caress you with my silky words so that you can feel faith building up. Encouragement is, we are more than able. Amen. Wake up.
Yes, Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord.
Yes,
we
right.
are more than able.
Right,
wake up.
Praise God.
That's real encouragement. Now, they don't like that today, but that's all right. Actually, it's not.
Come on, brother. Sure.
Because when the Lord Jesus Christ was here, you know, I'm just going to go with it tonight.
Amen.
When the Lord Jesus Christ was here, he acted kind of strange.
Did
he not? He acted kind of strange. Here was the disciple Peter.
Yep.
And Peter is listening to his master preach. And Peter is like, I just don't get it.
Yeah.
I think it was Peter. It could have been somebody else. But he said, I just don't get it. You know, he wants to get it. And here's the disciple. He's been following, sacrificing. Yeah. And here's the disciple. And he says, Lord, explain to me this parable. And Jesus turns around and says, my son, sit down. Let me explain everything to you. So you're full. He says, you still don't get it?
That's right.
The Lord God said, you still don't. Now, what kind of God is that? He's the same today. Watch
right.
those things. It's so easy to sit in the pew and look at the preacher and say, boy, he's just angry today. How do you know that's not the Holy Ghost
Amen.
Trying to wake you up?
Praise
Jesus
God.
Christ is the same
Amen.
Yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Jesus, thank you, Lord God.
Oh,
preach it, brother. Yes,
oh,
Lord.
My. Here's Jesus in Luke 12. The disciples are struggling. They're hurting. This is not a false struggle. They're really hurting. They're really struggling. And Jesus approaches them and says, you don't have much faith.
Yep.
Right.
You know why? Because I have news for you. The only one that really knows how to build faith is the Lord.
That's right, brother.
And
he's
got
right.
the key. He's
yes.
got the key to building you up. And it's not caressing you.
That's right.
It's not caressing you. It's waking you up to your state so that you can allow him to help you fix it.
Amen.
I'll say that one more time. It's waking you up to your state so you can allow him to help you to fix it. Notice he doesn't do all the fixing. There's some things he asks us to do.
Right.
You believe that?
Absolutely.
Caleb's attitude was listed as he fully followed. Oh, man, I could preach on that right now.
Yes,
he
sir.
Fully followed the Lord.
Amen.
There wasn't nothing in Caleb
yep.
that he held back. He wasn't holding back part of his land from the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave it all to him.
Yes.
He released body, soul, spirit, and mind to the will of the Father. He forsook the world. He left a career. He left money. He left family. He left friends. All for the sake of his message.
Amen.
And God honored
him. Yes, he did. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh, for the Lord God. Give him everything you have because, my friends, time is closing right before your eyes.
Yes, yes.
I never would have thought I would have seen Kenneth Copeland blessing the Pope.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right, brother. My goodness.
Where are we at? Prophecy fulfilled.
Amen.
All before our eyes. Everything's coming into line right now. Let's wake up and believe.
Amen, brother.
He fully followed the Lord. Not just spirit baptism and stop. I need a one amen to keep going. Not just receiving the Holy Ghost and stopping. See the Pentecostal church believes, get the Holy Ghost, get born again, you're good to go, bye-bye.
Right.
Brother Branham taught us the Holy Spirit is the beginning of the new birth. The Holy Spirit is your birth. Now you're born again. Now let's walk into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friends, there is no other footprints to follow than the suffering, cross-carrying Jesus Christ. The Bible says he was a man of sorrow, of grief.
Is there anybody in here that's been that way? A man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. Grief was his friend. Grief, acquainted with grief. He was always around grief. People look on you and like, why is that brother always? We should be the happiest people on the face of the earth. I'm happy in my heart, but my flesh is incredibly sad because I know that so many people are going to die and go to hell. And I can't just forget that and go about my day. And Jesus was walking the face of this earth. He stood over Jerusalem and he said, oh, Jerusalem. And he carried this with him every day of his life. Realizing that I am the fulfillment of the word to redeem them, and they won't hear.
That's right.
And so are the saints of God that walk this earth. The same Holy Ghost that was in the Garden of Eden crying out, Adam, where are you? It's the same Holy Ghost that's in your heart that cries out today, Adam, where are you? Every time you go to the store and your spirit's crying out, where's a child of God?
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Where's a child of God I can witness to? Where's somebody I can pull out? That is God himself saying, Adam, where are you at?
Amen. Yes.
Can I keep going? Brother Jesus was a Judean just like the rest of them. There was nothing different about the way he looked or the way he messaged. He was just like all of them, but the one thing that separated Caleb from the rest of them was his character.
Amen.
It was his character. And my friends, that's all God's trying to work out in your life,
is your character.
Amen. Every single pitfall and sin and failure, God takes advantage of. He doesn't necessarily ordain it, but he takes advantage of to mold your character to a point where you can actually rule and reign. That's not fairy tales. Where you can actually rule and reign with him. You see, there's going to be a people, a specific people, that are going to sit on the throne with you.
Amen.
Judging. He said, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Judging. Only because they have allowed God to shape their character to a place where it's no longer there.
Amen.
God wants to take all that you have, if you believe that tonight. God wants to take all that you have, brother, sister. Can I keep going? Listen to this. Brother Branham said, the attitude that always brings the results. It's the attitude that you take towards God. Here's a woman touched his garment. She was healed with a blood issue. A soldier spit in his face and put a crown of thorns on his head and felt no virtue. He said, it's your approach. Listen to this. The attitude is what takes it. And that's what it is tonight, dear friend. It takes the attitude. We are and believe that we are in the presence. Listen very closely.
Yes, sir.
We are and believe that we're in the presence of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But it's your attitude that brings the result. We know he's here.
Amen.
We know he's with us. People who don't believe like we do know he's with us.
We know he's here.
But it's your approach and your attitude that brings down that result that you're looking for.
Amen,
some of you have been crying in prayer. Where is it?
Amen. Come on.
Where is it? It's your attitude and your approach that brings the result. You believe that?
Amen. That's right.
He wants to see somebody that will be willing to let him be the Lord and the decision maker. You see, a lot of us today, we like to be the ones that make the decisions. We like to be the ones that decide what God wants to do for us. We like to be the ones that decide what God's will is for our life.
Sure.
We can't avoid that. That's how we're born. But people who
voluntarily lay that down and let God do the deciding
are the ones we're talking about.
Amen.
In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, the Bible says, you don't have to turn there, it says, whatever happens to you, conduct yourselves in a manner that's worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whatever happens to you, conduct yourself in a manner that's worthy. Even when totally unexpected distractions and disruptions come in your life, God asks you to conduct yourself in a manner that's worthy of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
That's where the fruit comes out. That's where the fruit comes out. When something totally unexpected happens to you, what comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart. Right? God cleanse our hearts, please. God cleanse our hearts. Regardless of all the unexpected things that take place, your duty is to respond with a Christ-like attitude, brother, sister. The book of Ephesians. I'm going to try to move fast now. Just bear with me. Ephesians chapter 5. Be imitators of God as dear children. We talked about that a few minutes ago.
Yes,
amen. You look upon your parents. Some of you are mighty old to remember this, if you bear with me. But you look upon your parents, and you're learning about, you're watching the way they act when they get mad. You're watching the way they act when they're happy. You're watching the way they deal with people that give them problems. You're watching it, and you're imitating it. Now, it says right there in the Bible, imitate God as dear children. It doesn't have to necessarily start out being 100% all you. But you need to do what you know is right, and then it will come into your heart.
That's true.
Brother Branham said we have complexes. We have things that are wrong with us. And he told you to just do the opposite, and eventually it'll be natural.
Amen.
Amen. Right.
You can't get along with people, so bite your tongue.
Right, brother.
Bite it. We all have that problem. Come on now. You just can't get along with people? Bite your tongue. Do the opposite. Don't you want to blurt out everything that's wrong with somebody? Bite your tongue. And eventually, that will be what's in your heart. Because the word of God is perfect. Do you believe
yes.
that?
Hallelujah.
If you're shy, get around people that talk a lot and do the same thing. Can I just be real tonight? Do the opposite. If you doubt God all the time, I got one for you. Stop and believe the word of God.
Amen.
You say, is it really that simple, Brother
Amen.
Colin?
Come on, brother.
Is it really that simple? You know, I've been seeking God that he'll build my faith. What are you doing? Just believe.
Amen. That's right.
I can, I will, I do believe.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You believe that, brother?
Yes, sir.
See, you have to do the opposite now, brother. That's all there is to it. If you have a problem where you're bitter towards somebody, perform tasks that reveal your care to them.
Amen.
How do I put it another way? If somebody gets on your nerves, lay your life down for them.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You might not feel it in your heart for about a year or two, but after a little bit of time, they're going to begin to grow on you, and you're going to begin to realize, this is the love of God.
Amen, brother.
This is the love of God, and it's going to become one with you. You see, Jesus prayed in John 17, Father, I pray they might be one even as we are one.
Amen. Yes,
now, they had been separated from him to an extent, but it's a process. Now, it starts out separated like that, but it comes to a union where you are bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh,
right.
Mind of his mind, spirit Amen. Of his spirit, where it's no longer just fake and routine, but it's True. God in you. The mystery of Christ is revealed.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Oh, somebody pull on me tonight.
Yes. Hallelujah.
You have to do the opposite.
Amen, brother.
You have to respond with a Christ-like attitude. God helping us.
Yes.
You know, Jesus' attitude was this. This was Jesus. Jesus was selfless.
Yes, sir.
That was Jesus. Jesus was selfless. There was nothing on this earth that he did for himself.
Come on, brother. Preach.
And I mean nothing.
Right.
Now, he was sinless. See, we're not quite like that. But there was nothing on this earth that he did for himself. His entire life. What did Brother Branham? Somebody tell me what Brother Branham said eternal life is.
Eternal
Living for others.
Living for others.
The Bible says, don't be so concerned about you, but concern yourself with the affairs of others also.
Amen, brother.
Right?
Yes, Lord.
Jesus was selfless. Brother Branham preached a message. I never heard him preach it, but he preached the Reverend Mr. Lilly, the local pastor, the Reverend Mr. Lilly, who he's not just here to serve the bride.
Come on, brother.
He's here to serve anybody that will come and drink from the fountain of life.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He's here to serve. He is God's messenger to the place God plants him. Amen. For the city. To serve any and all people that will come.
Right.
Oh my, didn't Jesus say the same thing? Whosoever will, let him come and drink.
Right.
The Reverend, now what they want to drink, how much they want to drink, whether they want to drink it and spit it up, that's up to them, but we got to remain open, like an open book. Come and receive from what God has given me. I'm not going to hold it to myself. May God raise up some witnesses in this town.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
With a vision, there's got to be somebody left.
Amen, brother. That's it.
I just am one of those old-fashioned people that
I
believe in shit.
I don't know. You don't see it too much anymore, but I believe in that.
Yes, sir.
I believe Jesus meant what he said when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And these signs shall follow me.
Yes, sir.
That's right, brother.
Amen. Now, see, brother, what we're talking about, that don't come natural. It doesn't come natural to lay your life down for somebody.
Oh my.
So if you feel like it's a horrible task, you're not alone.
Lord.
Okay, holy crowd. I'm going to let you down. Okay.
Preach, brother.
If Jesus himself was laying his life down and said, Father, I don't want to do this.
That's right.
If Jesus himself did not want to do what God asked him to do, what makes you different? Don't expect to want to do what God's going to ask you to do. Just be willing to do it.
Amen.
Yes, that's right.
Hallelujah.
Just be willing to do it.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
I found that in my life, church. A lot of things God asked me to do, plain and simple, just don't want to do it.
That's right, brother.
The majority of the time, I just don't want to do it. Matter of fact, it's a good sign that that's what God wants you to do.
Exactly right.
Jesus introduced a total new way of living. I pray we can really grasp a whole new way of living. This is not about me and my life and my career and what I can do. Though we have to do that. Don't misunderstand me.
Amen, brother.
It's about how much will you lay down.
Amen.
He laid his life down to give us eternal life. Now let's lay our lives down to do the same exact thing. You want to know something? I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be personal with you. This is when I knew the Lord God was inside me. Now, I've seen him work. I've seen him speak. I've seen a lot of things happen. But this is when I knew that the Lord God was inside me. I was in my room years ago praying. And I found myself weeping, crying. And I was seriously asking God to let me take the place in hell for people that I knew weren't going to be there. And I meant it. I mean, I really meant it. That's how I knew the Spirit of Christ was inside of me. Because it's not about me. I would do exactly what I'm doing right now if I knew I was going to hell. It's not about my reward. It's not about what he can do for me. If he wants to commit me to flames, God is good. God is right. I know he won't. But God is good. God's right. I'm doing this because I'm dead. And my life is hidden with Christ in God. I'm not doing this so I can get a reward. I'm doing this because I have taken a grave.
Yes,
and now
Lord.
Jesus Christ is here.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, glory. Glory. Jesus Christ is here now.
Yes.
Oh, that's real to me, brother.
Praise
sister.
Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Glory.
The disciples argued amongst themselves who would be the biggest, who's going to be the greatest, who's going to be the biggest disciple. He said, the greatest among you is the servant of everyone.
That's right.
The greatest among you is the one who will serve everybody else. Now, you're sitting there, you might not feel like you're doing much. But every little thing
that you do for your family and for God's people is even bigger than us ministers who get up here and labor in the word.
Brother.
Because here I'm here to tell you something. The greatest among you is the little yes. servant.
That's right. Preach, brother.
The greatest. I hope you remember that. All of the things that we go through, our anger, our troubles, our fights, all of these things come from somewhere. If you don't have any predetermined ideas for your life, any predetermined ideas for God's will for you, any predetermined ideas of what you should be doing, or any selfish ambition, you'll have no reason to ever become angry. I'll say it one more time.
Yeah.
If you don't have any selfish ambition, you'll have no reason to become angry.
Right.
You'll be angry at sin. Don't misunderstand me. But what I mean is the kind of anger where you're irritated.
Yeah.
Right? There'll be no reason for it because you have committed your whole being to the Lord Jesus Christ and His will. And you happen to believe that He's actually got it in His hands. Believe
That's it.
It or not.
Exactly right. Yes, Lord.
If you don't have a personal agenda, you won't be upset.
That's right, brother.
Think about that. I'm telling you the
truth.
Really I've come to that place in my life. I don't have a single agenda on my plate, and I don't want there to be one. Because I know God's got it in control. Now, if God throws me in a pit and has everybody condemning me, that must be God. Remember what David said. Oh, hold on.
Yep.
What are you talking about, brother? Hold on a minute.
Come on.
Remember what David said. David got spit on.
Yep.
Right? And he said, don't you do anything. God told that man to do that.
That's right.
David was a man after God's own heart.
Sure.
Don't touch him. God told him to do that. How do you know God didn't tell that person? Are you going to remember that when you leave here?
Yes, come on, brother.
How do you know God didn't tell that person? Just hold on a minute. Be careful, see? That's what we're talking about. How do you know the Lord God's not going to approach you and say, where's your faith?
Amen, brother.
How do you know it? How do you know He's not going to do that? How do you know He's not going to approach you and just straight up tell you to your face what you don't have?
Come on.
God, I want you to tell me where my good points are. How do you know He's not going to come right up into your house and tell you what you're missing?
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Can I keep going?
Sure.
Remember last time I believe I said, Brother Branham said the worst thing he ever saw was a grumbler. So let us not be that way.
Right.
That's the one thing he doesn't want. You know what a grumbler means? It means somebody who is not content with their lot in life.
Yep.
They're not content with it. They're just not satisfied about it. They're just not content. Paul said, I have learned to be abased. I've learned to abound. I've learned that whatever state I'm in, to be content.
Right.
What is that? Amen.
You believe that?
Yes, sir.
See, your complaints and all of that come from your unfulfilled desires.
Yep.
Just get rid of that.
Amen.
That was good. Your complaints come from unfulfilled desires.
Yes, Lord.
Get rid of those unfulfilled. Get rid of those inordinate affections, and you won't have that problem anymore. You believe that?
Amen.
You won't have that. That was the root problem on the heart of Joseph's brethren. That was the root problem that was on their heart.
That's it.
They had unfulfilled desires. They wanted that position that God gave to Joseph.
Sure.
Joseph didn't do nothing wrong. I mean, he didn't have to blurt out what he blurted out. He didn't have to walk around saying, I'm elect. He just happened to, that's just the way Joseph is, whatever, right? But his brothers had an unfulfilled, in their heart, they had to have that position, so they had to get rid of him.
Right,
that's
amen.
You ever see somebody boycott a ministry before?
Yeah, brother.
You ever see that?
Oh,
you ever experienced that type of thing before?
Oh, yeah.
Watch that. Watch that spirit. See, Caleb had a different spirit.
That's right.
I might be preaching myself, but I'm having a good time.
Amen.
Caleb had a different spirit, brother, sister. Let's be like Caleb.
Amen.
In everything the Bible says, give thanks.
Amen.
In everything, give thanks. Things. For this, you want to know what the will of God is?
Right.
For this is the will of God.
Amen.
In everything, give thanks. God, what's your will for my life? Stop complaining.
Praise you, Lord.
For this is the will of God.
You, Lord.
In everything,
thank
give
you,
thanks.
Lord Jesus. That's good.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord,
yes,
that I'm not crippled right now.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that I have a warm place to lay my head and you've not forsaken me tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that I have eyes to see and ears to hear, which is what's really important.
Amen.
Which is what really matters, that you have eyes to see and ears to hear the word of God. That is why Jesus, when he spoke, he said, if you have ears to hear, hear what I'm saying. Because he was speaking to specific people.
Amen.
Amen,
thank you for praying for me, brother. I feel his presence.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, if you have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Amen,
that's
Lord.
What really matters. Do you have ears to hear tonight?
Yes,
well,
Lord.
Thank the Lord
thank
God
you,
for those ears to hear. Hallelujah. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See that? Notice, this is what happened. This is what Israel did. Can I keep going just a little bit? Israel forgot what God did. David remembered
Amen.
What God did. David had all of these past experiences of God coming upon him and slaying the impossible,
right,
and he remembered that.
Yes.
He retained that in his mind. So that when Goliath came to him the next time, he could remember that last time when God performed a miracle in his life and he believed based on remembrance. Israel forgot what God did. They
Amen.
Forgot that God brought. They forgot God healed them 10 years ago.
Yeah.
They forgot that the last time they were broke and didn't have any
yep.
money that God somehow
right.
came through and
Amen.
Paid the bills. They forgot, and because they forgot, they didn't have the faith to walk anymore.
Amen.
Don't forget
right,
what God has done for you.
Glory to God.
Don't forget. Remember.
Thank you.
Don't you. Jesus said, don't you remember the fishes and the loaves.
Amen.
Oh my. Exactly.
Don't you remember the fishes and the loaves. Here's another example of Jesus not being that kind to people.
That's right.
Don't you remember the fishes and the loaves. Can't you remember what I've done? Don't forget it. Oh man, that's a
Amen.
Gem we can leave right now.
Hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lord. Are you still with me in Luke 12?
Yes, sir, brother. Come
on. Let's read Luke 12 again. Verse 20. But God said unto him, okay, I just read this for some reason. God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. When? Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? I want you to remember this. Another time to prove my point. Here is Jesus when the disciples are in pain and the disciples are hurting. Not in this scripture, but at another time. The disciples are hurting. They're in pain. They're confused. It's a waiting period. Their Messiah that was supposed to take everything over has disappeared.
Yep. Amen.
And Jesus walks up to him and says, what are you talking about? And then he's like, I know your pain. I understand it. Let me caress you. He says, you fools.
Yeah.
And slow of heart.
That's right.
To believe
said.
All that the prophets have spoken.
Oh,
and God is saying again tonight to
yes,
his
Lord
people,
Jesus.
Thou fools. And slow of heart to believe all that the prophets
oh,
have spoken.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh. God, help us. God, be merciful.
Yes.
Amen.
Help me to believe every single word that comes out of your mouth.
Yes.
For man shall not live by bread alone, but from every single word that comes forth out of the mouth of
Praise
God.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
He said in verse 22, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. I want you to pretend Jesus Christ is standing behind here
yes,
telling
Lord
you this right
Jesus.
Now. Because he might be. The life
yes,
is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls, and which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take your thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? How much more will God clothe you?
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. I just want to keep going a little bit, can I? And then we'll close. Somebody told me one time, how do you know the preacher's lying? Right? Because he says, I'm going to close. But I really will try. I don't want to hold you too long. Brother, sister, God wants to get across tonight. Tell me one time you've been laughing.
Sure.
Tell me one time you've missed something that you needed. Tell me one time he's forgotten you. Don't forget what he's promised you.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
Listen, Brother Branham says, the attitude is what brings the results. Now, and he's talking about, I want you to listen to this. Now, he's talking about the nobleman. He says, this is about this nobleman. He was a Gentile. He did not know much about the Jewish religion, but he had heard about Jesus. And his servant was very sick. Whether he was a Jew or Gentile, he had faith in Christ, and he sent for Jesus. You all know the story he's referring to.
Amen.
He said, I want you to notice his attitude. He didn't approach feeling that he had it coming to him. He approached and said he was unworthy. He said, I want you to take that attitude also, that you cannot come with a predominating attitude and get anything from God. He said, you must come reverent, humble, and then God will deal with you. And then you will get what you ask for. And that's the attitude that this Roman taken.
Hallelujah.
He said he didn't come expecting anything great. Brother Branham said he didn't approach feeling like he had it coming to him.
Right.
But he knew that this God would perform.
Amen.
And he said, I'm not even worthy. Notice, this was a person of authority. This wasn't some little servant like, I'm not worthy. This guy had power. This guy had authority. But he had the right spirit.
Amen.
He had the right spirit. Can we turn there? Is that okay?
Sure.
I think it's Matthew chapter 8. Listen to this. Verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel.
That's right.
And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. One more verse. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee.
Amen.
And his servant was healed
in
the selfsame hour.
Right.
As you have believed, so be it done unto you.
Absolutely.
Amen. Let's stand.
Yes.
Jesus' attitude there, his attitude tonight.
Amen.
Jesus' attitude for the sick in the past is his attitude for the sick tonight. He said, if you will, come heal him. Jesus said, I will.
Thank you, Lord.
I will.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name.
Father God, we come before you and we thank you tonight. Lord, we thank you that we have the opportunity to believe your word. We thank you that we have the opportunity, Lord Jesus Christ, to take faith in what you've spoken. And Lord, I'm the first one here tonight. In the name of the Lord, I'm asking you to remove from me all fear, remove from me all unbelief and all vibrations of doubt, that your Holy Spirit can just simply root itself in my heart. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe what you've spoken. I believe what you've spoken through your word. I believe what you've spoken through your message. I believe every word that comes out of your mouth. If you help me, oh Lord God, I ask in the name of Jesus, you would remove all unbelief. I can only do what you help me to do in the name of Jesus. Lord, cleanse us. Give us that faith, Lord, to believe every single word. Give us that faith, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Do you know that chorus? Make me more like thee. Amen. Yes.
Make me more like thee.
Grant a Lord. Sing it with all your heart now.
Let the world
like me.
Is that your heart's desire?
Jesus, make me more like me.
Let's just praise Him our own way. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much, Lord, for your word tonight, showing us the truth. Telling me, Lord, what I need. Just keeping my eyes open, Lord, all the truth of this word. But you're showing us the light, Father. We could have walked in darkness. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for taking care of me. Healing me, Lord. Just refreshing my spirit, Lord. I thank you for all these blessings, Lord. So good, Father. Oh, yes. Oh, praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Been known for something at school. Known for being the guy that'll tell you the truth. I've been known for being the guy that don't pull no punches, that just says it the way it is. And sometimes that's good and sometimes it's not. But I made this remark here recent. The reason it's such a baffling thing in this day is because so much of what the world wants to do is just pat you on the back. Just to say, oh, it's okay, it don't matter, you know, it'll be all right. You can come to school and do nothing, and, you know, we'll push you through, and you'll be successful and things like that. And it's all just a big lie. It's just a big lie, and that's all the devil does. I'm glad that we didn't have that tonight. But the Word was able to come and show us the truth. He didn't just come pat us on the back and say, oh, it's okay, you know, you're living in that unbelief, and you doubted God's Word here, and, you know, He didn't let us stay that way because He knows that'll kill us later on. Yes. So He took care of it today. How many received the Word tonight?
Yes.
Amen. I thank God for that. I believe that's the greatest miracle you could ever have, is get a group of people to accept the Word.
Amen.
Especially when the service don't feel good. Sure. When it don't smell good. And don't all the senses, all what faith declares.
Amen.
It's the Word. Yes. And I receive the Word, Lord. Yes. If I'm wrong, that's okay. Put it back in the blood.
Yes.
I'll be all right because the blood is what I'm trusting in.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I so appreciated that message tonight. That is the most needful thing right there. Can you have the right attitude to God's word for anything? For salvation, for healing, for deliverance. It doesn't matter. Can you walk out and knowing you're delivered today? Yes. Yes. How? You believe it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't feel it. Don't matter.
Right.
You're delivered.
Amen.
Say, I still hear the devil. He's just bluffing anyways. Quit listening.
That's right.
He's done. You don't got no power over a child of God. How many believes that tonight?
Yes.
How many was delivered tonight of an evil spirit the devil tried to put on you? Well, praise be to God. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of worship then tonight. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate that word, and here even just to testify this, I was kind of fighting about what to preach on and where we're going to go and things, and I'm not going to tell you what just yet, but he told me my sermon during that a few times. I heard it there, and I said, that's it, so I know what to do now, so I thank God for that. Aren't you glad to know that he does that for me and him, brother? Not for our sake, for your sake. I appreciate it. I'll share it. Brother Russell telling me all the things I said Sunday were things he had been praying that would get said. Maybe things he didn't even know would get said that got said.
Amen.
But God knows. He knows what to do, when to do it, how to do it. And if we'll just, I love that, brother. We don't got no agenda. God's the agenda.
Amen.
And he said, take no thought what you'll have. No, he said, he'll take care of, put the kingdom of God first. Praise God. I was wondering, let's just sing this song. I don't want to keep any longer. If you need prayer and things, that's fine. Come forward. Believe God. You'll walk out of with whatever you need of. What are you singing now? Let's sing that together.
Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus.
worship him now. The Lord of all, Jesus be the Lord of all, the kingdoms of Lord, I surrender all. Let's sing that. Give it all to him now. Just worship. And Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdom's up. Oh, I just love his presence. Don't be in no hurry. Just keep worshiping, praying. Sing that again. And Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdom's up.
Let's sing it as a confession. Jesus is the Lord of all. Sing it now.
Oh, Jesus is the Lord of all.
Just believe it now.
Oh, Jesus is the Lord of all. Jesus is the Lord of all. The King.
Oh, I think God likes that. He likes you believing his word. Sing it again that way. Hallelujah, Lord.
Oh, Jesus is the Lord of all. Jesus is the Lord of all. Jesus is the Lord of all. The kingdoms of my heart.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember to keep the services coming up. Brother Nathan be here in two Wednesdays. Keep him in prayer. I'm expecting great things. Give God praise. Don't let the message go in one ear and out the other. Let it drop right into your heart and say, God, make it a part of me. Hallelujah, Lord. Let's sing as we go tonight. You'll be dismissed on this. Let's just sing that chorus.
It's by faith that I believe. It's by faith that I receive. It's by faith I'll overcome. It's by faith I'll see the sun. It's by faith that I believe. It's by faith that I receive. It's by faith I'll overcome. It's by faith I'll see.
Oh, just sing it, believe it. Yes, Lord.
It's by faith.
Thank you, Father.
I believe. It's by faith that I receive. It's by faith I'll overcome. It's by faith I'll see.
God bless you, saints. Praise the Lord.
It's my faith.